Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Are you happy now?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 21, Show Me Love.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Oh, boy.
Worth the wait.
Oh, absolutely. Hello, Tara and Dave and Richard Dawson.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Boy, do we have some announcements for you. We can't wait to get into the regatta. But first, we want to let you know, again with this episode 240, which drops Friday, May 16th, we'll be watching John Wesley Shipp and Carolyn McWilliams and Jill Novick and Ghost George Clooney in an episode of Sisters at Season 5, Episode 3. It's called I Only Have Eyes for You. That is on Prime Video. Or you can just let us watch it. Up to you. But it's really quite a time capsule of that time in NBC culture and Clooney culture. So we hope that you will join us.
I kind of loved it. Spoiler for our conversation.
I did not. I mean, it wasn't good, but it was fun. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys should come through, join the Again With This Club, and listen to that and the gazillion other episodes we've done. We have a good time, and it goes places.
Indeed. And also, as previously mentioned, we are having another call-in episode. We promise for real this time. Anyone who has watched Dawson's Creek or really knows anything about it will recall that the season 3 finale is a barn burner. We would not have the crying Dawson gif without it, just for starters. So important to culture. God.
Yes, extremely. So we thought the week after that episode on season 3, episode 23, True Love, would be a great time to do a call-in show with your thoughts, reminiscences, philosophical questions, or honestly, any other reactions to that episode or to the series to date. Or if you just still have complaints about David Silver, that's fine too.
Truly.
Because same.
Please get your calls or texts in by Tuesday, May 27th to 210-767-2237. That's 210-767-2237. Just program it right into your phone. You'll have it always. But if the phone is not a practical option for you, if you're overseas or what have you, you can also just record a voice note and email it to hello@againwiththispodcast.com.
And if you can't write down that phone number or email at this moment for whatever reason, it's fine. All that info is on our website, againwiththispodcast.com/about. We really want to hear from you, so get those calls and texts into us by Tuesday, May 27th.
Please do. And again, for the Patreon, go to againwiththispodcast.com/club for more info on perks and how to join and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's get into this episode, starting with our B-plot. Henry romances/stalks Jen. In a cold open montage that otherwise doesn't concern them, Jen walks out the front door to see Henry standing in Graham's front yard holding a sign that reads, in all caps, Jen Lindley, would you please forgive me? Jen immediately goes back inside, and when Graham's follows, it's with a smirk at Henry. Don't encourage him. This applies to everyone who interacts with Henry in this episode. Don't encourage him. This is your problem.
Yeah. And wherever his parents are, come get your boy Dumbler and put an end to this, please.
Yes. It really went a bad place when we had another blonde stalking someone whose parents we never met. Just saying. Him and Emily Valentine. Cut from the same weird cloth. It's regatta times in Capeside, which we'll get to in a big way, unfortunately, with the A-plot. But how it comes up here is that Graham's has apparently always helped make the winner's wreaths, and the McPhees are over helping, while Jen dismembers a daisy doing He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. After Grams adorably teases Jack by putting a flower behind his ear, Andy looks outside to see Henry once again standing in the yard with his sign. By the way, the same sign. He's not even updating his message. This is low-level stalking effort, I would say.
Yeah.
Not to encourage him to increase his effort, just saying. Jen pretends to be embarrassed, but can't help smiling delightedly. At least he can't see her. This is somehow the first the McPhees have asked what Henry is asking to be forgiven for, even though the scene also establishes that Henry's been doing this shit for a week. Jen's short version is that he's a typical teenage boy with a one-track mind, to which even Graham says all healthy boys want the same thing, and hasn't Henry paid enough penance? No, but also I don't care.
It is weird and striking how siloed off from life in the town the whole Henry Jen plot is. And you really wonder why that is. I mean, you don't really, because then you go forth, you live in the world, and you hear things about certain actors in said plot. And it's like, really have to wonder. But Graham's in particular, like, decide what you want from this. And if what you want is for her to not be fucking, maybe dial it back.
Seriously. So that night, Jen has just seated a party at the restaurant when Gail intercepts her and orders her to get rid of Henry because he and his sign are weirding everyone out and also blocking the view. And when Jen goes to grab him, we see he's standing in the middle of the restaurant patio, like between tables. And I can't believe neither Gail nor one of their servers had the balls to tell him to, like, quit impeding business. But it falls to Jen,
or
I guess.
Call Deputy Doug, please.
Right. Well, I don't think it rises to the level of a police matter. It's just like, hey, get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or they told him and he wouldn't get until he got to talk to Jen, in which case it's like, well, why don't you talk to the law then? A witter is going to handle this, like it or not.
Or they told Shelley to do it and she just tried to fuck him again. Anyway, giving Henry exactly what he wants ends with Jen walking up onto what I guess is the restaurant's roof, where he has set up a trail of rose petals to a little nook of pillows and candles. Not sure his one-time boss, Gail, would want him to put candles directly onto her tar paper roof, but okay.
No. That did give me, like, Felicity rooftop vibes, though. Like, it did look quite cozy. It was like a conversation pit, but the unattended fire.
Yeah.
No.
So Jen is delighted and sits with Henry as he proves he understands why she was mad, because he was not listening to her. He's glad they didn't rush into having sex because he doesn't want to be like every other guy in her life. He wants everything they do to be something she hasn't done before. She says she's never had a rooftop picnic, and they kiss. And Henry says from now on, he's going to do everything he can to be the most original person in her life. And Jen says he already is. And I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm just saying they kiss and he's real lethargic, and that's all. And you can Google what he might have been up to at this time if you want more information. Not for me to say.
Yeah, you don't really, though.
No.
Want more information
about him then or now, honestly. I mean, we should say we're recording this a few days after the news hit that Michael Pitt has been arrested for sexual misconduct, like not even just accused. He was in cuffs. So yikes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jen rolls in after sunrise the next morning to Grams, who comments that they're both still wearing the same outfits they had on yesterday. Unrepentant, Jen beams that she should have called, but figured Grams would be asleep. In fact, Grams was about to call Sheriff Witter, and still really not reading the room, Jen explains, clip two.
Grams, I was fine. I was with Henry.
You spent the night with Henry?
Yeah, on the roof of the restaurant. God, it was so beautiful. The boats were all lit up on the water, and the whole town was down below applauding for the fireworks, but it felt like it was for us. And he had a blanket and a picnic and... Well, not much of a picnic, actually. It was two Lunchables, but it's the thought that counts. Grams, I'm sorry. We just lost track of time.
Oh. Is that the fashionable euphemism bandied about on MTV these days? Losing track of time?
I thought that you'd be happy. I mean, it was your advice that compelled me to move forward with Henry.
It was not my advice to sleep with the boy.
You don't know what you're talking about.
To see you... slip back into your old lifestyle like you never left it. I expected more of you, Jennifer.
You know what? I expected more of you, too. Believe it or not, I have changed, and it hasn't been easy. Especially considering that the one person that I count on the most can't even see it.
Sorry.
You're going to edit that out, right?
I don't know.
Come on.
I'd have to replay the whole thing right now.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I guess I can insert.
No, no, it's fine.
No.
Great. This is, once again, it's like this is what I was complaining about with the Shelley episode, where it's just like, all it takes is for you to say one thing where it's like, I have a boyfriend, get away from him. Oh, shit. Okay, I will. Versus, you spent the night with Henry. Yes, but not like that is all it takes for her to say.
Yeah.
And that short circuits this entire dumb fight.
Yeah. Like, we really did fall asleep. We didn't fuck. Like, there's so much pointless conflict to this entire storyline.
Yeah.
That no one enjoys or cares about. And it's just like, I understand that they didn't really know, I guess, what to do with Jen. Mm. Anymore.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, once they figure something out, it gets pretty wild. Much as I love Tom Frost. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is just exhausting.
Yeah.
Write him off, please.
And to your point earlier about the siloing, like, yes, Michael Pitt's whole deal was probably part of it. But I think, you know, between Michelle Williams and Kerr Smith, like, they probably had to rejuggle the shooting schedule and have them in storylines that they could shoot by themselves, like without having to keep them on set the whole time, because they were making so many movies. Like, I think this is around when he was doing Final Destination.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that from last episode.
Yeah,
that we talked about, that it was like there was basically like an insert of Kerr Smith and his
yes.
Romulan sweatshirt, cutoff sweatshirt.
Like, yes, it's like an animation cell that they just lift out. Yeah.
No, went back to his whole planet.
So sometime later, Jen is moping in her room next to, by the way, a Paula Cole, like, banner. I thought it was a poster at first, but it's like, it's clearly some kind of cloth because of how it's wrinkled.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you can see.
Also a garbage poster in her room.
That too. That's more on brand for her, I think.
Yeah,
obviously, I know why Paula's there. But anyway, Grams comes in to give her the dress that we saw Jen in when she first arrived in Capeside in the pilot. Grams found it packed away in a box. Jen says that's because it's not her style, and Grams says she knows. Looking at it reminds Grams of how much Jen has grown up. She showed up there a child and has become a beautiful, poised, confident woman who's not afraid to risk her heart. Grams thinks Jen finally believes that she deserves to be loved. She knows how hard it is to wait to have sex when you've found the person that you think is the right one. Grams wants to talk about the joy of sex, but also the responsibility. And Jen finally breaks into her monologue to say they did not have sex. And Grams cries with relief, but says she still means everything she said. So, okay, fine. They haven't fucked. Moving on. The A plot. The Spring Regatta isn't really about winning a boat race this year.
What?
I know. We open on a montage. Dawson sits in his desk chair studying Aunt Gwen's original ugly portrait of him with Joey. Whatever the other one was that we saw on the wall in that one scene in the previous episode is gone. We don't see it again. So I don't know if these were shot out of order or what the fuck, but whatever.
It's at a rest stop in Wareham. If you know, you know.
I mean, as always, I would love to know where original pieces of art end up. I assume someone has it, them, you know, but we'll never know who. Then Joey stands in the lot next to the wall that Pacey rented her, feeling like a real asshole because she hasn't thought about this wall for like 10 episodes. So there it is, still there. Then Pacey hoses off the true love. At school, Dawson cuts Pacey dead in the hall, leaving Pacey to shake his head wearily like we are all want to do at Dawson and his bullshit. And then Joey looks around the cafeteria with her tray, but she can't sit with Dawson or Pacey. And when Jack gives her a friendly nod and she heads toward him, she sees he's sitting with Andy. And so then Joey sits with a table of randos. So random, we don't even see anything but their trays, like not even their hands, never mind their faces. And then at the end of the montage, Joey is sitting uselessly like 1 foot away from the wall when Dawson joins her. She tries to head off any discussion of her and Pacey, but Dawson snits that Pacey's the last person he wants to talk about. He's there to tell Joey he wants her in his life. Ooh, lucky her. Wow. Ugh. What great news. Jesus. They go on. Clip 3.
Dude, that damage has been done. I came to salvage the one relationship that I need more than any other, and that's ours.
How?
Dude, let's rebuild. Let's take a walk. Let's have a picnic. Watch a movie.
After everything that's happened, how could I possibly climb that ladder into your bedroom and watch a movie?
I'm not asking you to disregard what's happened here. I'm saying let's move forward from here.
You know what? All I want to do right now, Dawson, is paint my wall.
Well, it's a freestanding invitation.
No, it's not. It's a standing invitation.
Yeah. Also freestanding, your absolutely massive pants and unbelievably terrible hair. Like, if the show wants us to side with him, they've got to do something about the styling, but
well,
they didn't.
I mean, I don't think it would have been that strange at the time. This was just how people were dressing. Like, we saw it on 90210, too. Like, pants were huge.
Yeah, I guess.
It just looks bizarre in retrospect to see him in two guys' worth of pant at a time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, freestanding invitation. I don't remember which of us recapped this episode, but I definitely remember ranking on that line, because that's not a thing.
Yeah, I think this was you. I think I had evens, because I have, like,
I think you're right.
Sense memory of odd numbers.
Yeah. I mean, I think because I did the finale, that's why. That would make this one me. But anyway, yes, he does manage to stand up without the wind blowing him and his pants away like a sail and leaves. And tourist season is kicking off with the Cape Side Regatta, as we mentioned, and Leary's fresh fish is part of the action, as we learn when Gail spreads a branded cloth on a table and then Mitch hits on her to basically no response other than that the past year went by fast. This is when Mitch notices the cloth, which is apparently not for the table. It is a flag because the restaurant agreed to sponsor Pacey in the race before recent events ended their shitty son's friendship with him. And Dawson's parents are debating whether they need to honor their commitment to Pacey or protect Dawson when the prince himself comes out of the restaurant. And Mitch announces, without getting the owner sign off, by the way, that they will pull out of the race for Dawson's sake. But Dawson says they don't need to do that if it's so important to the restaurant. And even offers to take the flag to Pacey himself. And at the marina, where Will is also lording around again, but, you know, don't get too attached, Dawson manages to be civil as he hands over the flag, and things kind of deteriorate from there. Clip 4.
Look, Dawson, if you want me to drop out of this race, you're going to have to ask me yourself.
Do whatever you want, Pace.
I'm only doing this to help your mother.
Will you help Joey?
Look, you want to stay angry, stay angry. It really doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm just glad it's finally directed at the right person.
Oh, save it, Pacey. You know, everyone else might buy this chivalrous, self-deprecating crap. I don't.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
No one's asking you to. Fuck off.
Also, the way he helped Joey was your fucking idea. You in a boat blowjob getting buffoon. So get bent.
Worst. More exposition. Bessie's making Joey cook and serve pancakes at the regatta registration because that is being sponsored by the B&B. Just a reminder, by the way, we have yet to see one registered paying guest since the critic that one time. So I don't know where they're getting extra money to throw at this event.
Also, who eats pancakes at a regatta? Like, I understand that it's a bed and breakfast, but maybe something a little more portable, like a muffin?
Do a breakfast burrito, even. That's something you can eat with your hands on the walk. Anyway. Bessie sarcastically offering to let Joey scrub toilets or make beds instead when she happens to glance at the true love just in time for Pacey to raise the Leary banner and then comments on how unlikely she would have thought it was. But Joey looks relieved and assumes it means that Pacey and Dawson are speaking again. Bessie asks how things are with Joey's friendships, and Joey tells her about the movie night invitation she declined, given the awkwardness. Bessie tells Joey to let the boys work their own shit out. Maybe they already have. And then the McPhees are at the marina dropping off wreaths so that Dawson can hit them up for the use of their dad's boat that weekend. Jack reminds Dawson that pieces of the last boat Dawson borrowed are still floating around in the creek. And nothing says more about the balls on this jerk than Dawson telling them he has entered the regatta before confirming he even has access to a boat to race in it. Jack, knowing why Dawson has entered, says Pistols at Dawn might be a more suitable way to settle his shit with Pacey, but Andy says Dawson should seize the day since Pacey certainly did. Dawson claims his entering is not about Pacey. It's about showing Joey how much he cares, which I don't think she cares, but anyway, clip five.
It's not right.
No, Jack, you know what? I'll tell you what's not right. Watching the person you love throw everything away so they can be with someone else. Listening to them lie to your face day after day. That's not right. So if you're not going to help Dawson, I will.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, you can hardly see it on the waveform when I got that clip. He's so reluctant.
And yeah, good instincts. Like, stay as far away from this stupid situation as possible. Everyone involved is wrong.
Yep. So Dawson goes directly from this conversation to Joey serving pancakes on the boardwalk. And when he thanks her for the impractical plate, she hands him clip six.
Thank you, Dawson.
Heard already.
Well, I have to admit, I mean, I had my doubts as to whether or not things would get better, but when I saw your restaurant's banner on Pacey's boat, I just felt this huge sense of relief.
That's what you're thanking me for?
Yeah.
I thought that's what I told you already.
Told me what?
Bettering boat race.
Sailboat race?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your sponsor?
You are.
What?
I'm being sponsored by the Potter B&B.
Dawson, we can't afford the entry fee.
Taken care of. Your sister is pretty psyched about the idea.
I'm sure she was.
So a victory, however slim my chances might be, would guarantee the B&B to cover the tourist brochure. You guys be booked the whole season.
Look, Dawson, I really don't think this is a good idea.
It's not what you think. All right? Like, all I want to do is help. If I needed help, you'd be there for me, right?
Dawson.
Of course you would. So sign me up and wish me luck.
This is him in a nutshell of shit. Like, just how much he's talking over her and ignoring what she's saying. Like, fuck
yeah.
All the way off to literal hell. The worst.
Yeah. Just so presumptuous, self-satisfied. And, you know, for those of you who think that you know what we're going to say for least valuable player, like, I don't know. I just feel like every other person in his plot line had myriad opportunities to be like, bro, fuck off.
Yeah.
And just nobody speaks to him like he needs to be spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's going to be like everybody else is tied for last, but we'll see.
Well, on top of, I mean, we'll get to it, but like, where is the evidence that he knows anything about sailing? Like, there is none.
Yeah.
And we'll get to it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
After the commercial, Bessie returns to the table and to Joey's mood being much worse than she left it. Bessie says that Dawson practically begged her and they're not in a position to turn down free advertising. Joey snits back that it isn't free. Hello. It is obligating Joey to deal with Dawson and his desire to beat Pacey, which all she wants is to not be in the middle. But Bessie shrugs that if two boys want to compete on the B&B's behalf, she's fine with it. Position I don't think a 2025 Bessie would take, by the way. That's very retrograde.
Yeah. I also do not believe Dawson's assertion that, like, a victory in the regatta will guarantee the Potter B&B a season of business. Like, they're not renting sailboats. What the fuck does this have to do with anything? And also, it's Dawson.
Yes. Yeah. How does that translate to business? Like, are you going to put on the, you know, classified ad in the local penny saver, like sponsor of the winner of the 2000 Cape Side Regatta? Like, who gives a fuck? Like, yeah. That doesn't mean their pancakes
boat
are
races.
Good.
I mean, who cares? And it really is like, once again, I struggle. Like, this episode and the one following were what turned us against Dawson for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad before, but at least occasionally you could sort of like feel for the kid that he's just like a whatever precocious virgin. And you're like, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was no picnic at that age either.
Yeah.
But this is the episode where you're just like, what seriously does the show think is happening?
Yeah.
With our relationship to this character? He sucks.
Yes. You're pushing him into irredeemability.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know if they are aware of that and are kind of doing it on purpose so that we are psyched about Pacey and Joey, but I don't think so.
No.
Because there were Team Dawson people, incredibly.
Amazingly, yes. Mm. So Joey says this was all supposed to stop when she and Pacey broke things off, but Bessie says that was naive to think. The hardest part of being an adult is knowing your actions have consequences, and Joey should accept hers and do something to make things better. Well, she was trying, and then you were like, okay, now he's involved in your life and our business again, so shut up, Bessie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Andy is at home working on her blue iMac when Will comes in, and you can tell this is the past because there's a post-it right on her screen, like on the glass part or plastic or whatever, like, where no one who routinely uses a computer would put it. Like, there, that could have been in like a note, like, oh yeah, put a post-it, it'll make it seem lived in. You put it on the side. You don't put it over part of like where you're working.
Unless the visual screen area was like much smaller than the actual physical screen. But I didn't have one of those, so I don't remember.
No.
I had a compact Presario. It weighed a mere 28 pounds.
Anyway, at least she's at a desk this time. But there's some perfunctory regatta talk, and then Will announces that his scholarship to Raleigh has come through. I'm pretty sure we haven't heard about a prep school at all, but I guess it's a big deal. I also didn't realize until I read about it on the Discord, thank you past guest host Adam, that apparently Young Americans predated this show and had been like sitting in a can for a while. And it was only belatedly they were like, oh yeah, get that kid back and put him on Dawson's Creek so we can launch Young Americans. But it had been it was a year later. I never knew that.
We must have known that, but I guess we forgot because we didn't care because charisma vacuum that is Will Krudsky.
Yes. Anyway, I guess the scholarship is a big deal because Andy makes this noise, clip 7. Welcome to the soundboard, that noise.
Yeah.
Andy vaguely says that now Will doesn't have to worry about his dad anymore. And like, again, we did not get a lot of details about that either.
No.
Knowing he was shoehorned in makes a lot of this make more sense, sort of. But it also seems like there were even more scenes about him that got cut.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Like, weirdly, they seem to understand we don't care about this kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
But like, let's give more screen time to Dawson is not the answer for anything.
Will is still worried about Pacey, however, and Andy shuts down, saying Pacey and Joey brought this situation on themselves. Will defends them for having had the guts to pursue their feelings for one another. Andy says they were all friends, which is not an argument to the contrary of what Will just said. He tells her that Pacey and Joey didn't set out to hurt Andy, but she snaps that once upon a time she didn't set out to hurt Pacey either, and he didn't forgive her. I mean, I think he did fuck you that time, but anyway, Will urges Andy to let go of her anger so she doesn't turn into the kind of person he feels sorry for. Oh no, how will she go on knowing she's been judged by Will Krudsky? Over to the marina where Dawson and his frosted tips, which you can see in the visual aids, incompetently move some boat part without warning Jack, and it hits him in the head. Dawson tells Jack to tie something to the thing, and Jack tells Popeye his instructions suck ass. This, I would think, would be where Jack is like, you know what? You're not taking my dad's boat out after all. You have no idea what you're fucking doing, and you're
going
to get us into huge trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's where Mitch materializes to show off his knowledge of sailing. Mitch then takes forever to say he knows what he's doing and offer to join Dawson's crew. Dawson doesn't want to put Mitch at odds with Gail in the boat the restaurant is sponsoring, but Mitch thinks any good relationship should be able to withstand some conflict, right? And if Dawson is supposed to see the parallel to his own conflict, he doesn't and just sputters his acceptance of Mitch's help. And one handshake later, it's done. And apparently we are to believe there's a shop in Capeside that makes same-day boat banners, because that's when Dawson raises the one for the B&B. Just in time for Joey and her Coca-Cola to turn around and see the flag flying and then turn the opposite way and nearly run into Pacey. He tries to walk away from her, but clip 8.
Pacey, this wasn't my idea. I didn't ask him to do it, but I mean, you know Dawson, once he gets something in his mind, I'm sorry.
It wasn't your idea. Why are you apologizing?
Because you're obviously upset.
I'm upset because we haven't spoken in 2 weeks, and now when we finally do, the first words out of your mouth, as per usual, are about Dawson.
Well, this conversation is about to get harder, Pacey.
You want me to drop out, too? Wow, Dawson Leary couldn't have scripted this one any better, could he?
What do you mean?
Don't you get it? No matter what I do, he wins. If I drop out, he wins. If I stay in the race, I'm forced into direct competition with the guy. And if I actually win, I don't beat him, I beat you. So guess who really wins there?
Maybe you could talk to him. I mean, try to work it out.
Yeah, we tried that. He doesn't really want to talk to me right now. And when he does, it's not entirely civil.
Could you try again, Pacey, please?
Yeah, if that's what you want. That's all that you want.
That's all that I want.
I mean, this is not a fair analogy, but I'm going to say it anyway. When these two have to keep talking about Dawson is how I feel about everyone having to keep talking about Trump. Like, he's the most boring person who has ever lived. Just shut up. Like, stop bringing him up. I know you can't. In this case, because he's in the name of the show, but still, like, this is exhausting. This, you really feel the long episode order in scenes like that.
Yeah. Dawson is so hateful in this episode. Pacey just nutshelled it in that clip.
Yep.
That it's like everything is set up so that Pacey can't win, but then as a result, it's set up so that Dawson can't win with the viewers. So what is any of us doing here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're stretching out scenes by putting characters' names in each other's mouths 15 times. I think Joey says the word Pacey 6 times just in that clip. Exhausting.
Yeah.
Just go fuck. End this.
Please. Anyway, after she has thanked Pacey for agreeing to her terms and she is shuffling off, he calls after her that it's nice talking to her and she has nothing else to say back. And sometime later, Dawson is wandering around the boardwalk when, clip 9.
What are you trying to prove?
Just trying to help Joey.
Look, man, why don't you just take a swing at me? I mean, honestly, just take a poke. Get it over with. Save us both a lot of time and trouble. Wouldn't involve our friends.
Or family.
Do you think that indulging yourself in some James Dean meets Grease Lightning fantasy that you're actually going to prove you're a better man than I am?
I don't have to prove that. You made that clear when you moved in on Joey.
For the very last time, Dawson, I made a mistake.
Don't leave it there.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, say what you think the mistake is, because being vague just makes him think you agree with him that Dawson was like, that Joey was Dawson's by right, which is the whole problem.
And that
here.
He was wronged when you followed his instructions and what you meant by, quote, take care of Joey was keep her away from other boy adventures until I'm ready to get it wet.
Right.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they go on. Clip 10.
I thought you, of all people, would understand someone falling for Joey Potter.
Are you delusional enough to believe that you actually have something real with Joey?
Well, if I do, it's because of her own free will.
Do you really think a couple confused weeks means anything compared to the lifetime that we've had?
And do you actually think that you could possibly hold on to that beautiful woman with some sort of selfish ultimatum?
Answer my question, Pacey. Do you really think you can compete with history?
Some history? 15 years of watching PG movies in your bedroom, followed by another year and a half of pretending to be grown up only to drop each other at the first sign of crisis. That's your history? Come on, man. You call this woman your soulmate?
Yes, I do. And you knew that, and you went after her anyway.
Right after you rejected her.
Oh, so she was vulnerable. Perfect for you, right? Because you're only interested in girls you can save or screw, right, Pace?
Bye! We're never speaking again. Goodbye!
Oh, my God.
That's the end of our friendship. That's it.
Well, if you think that little of him, what do you give a shit what he does? Like, oh,
exactly.
My God, you supercilious virgin.
Ugh.
Grow up.
Oh,
grow
my
up.
God. Unfortunately, there's still more. At the restaurant the next day, Gail and Mitch quietly discuss their loyalties in the regatta with a mildness that doesn't rise to the level of bickering, but is also barely obviously about themselves. Mitch is proud of Dawson for fighting for what he wants, which, I would love to know what Mitch thinks that is. Gail thinks mm-hmm. they should be teaching Dawson to fight with his words, as though he doesn't know quite well how to do that, as we just heard. Mitch thinks two people can come to a point where there's nothing more to say and you have to take action. Clearly, Dawson has more guts than either of his parents do, in Mitch's opinion. Gail pretends not to know what he means, so Mitch brings up what seems to have been going on between the two of them lately, and Gail doesn't engage, so Mitch is like, well, never mind, bye, I guess. And then it's the regatta, the boats are boating, no one cares. Somehow, we get to the True Love and the Carpe Diem neck and neck on their way to the finish. Pacey screams to Dawson to give them room. Based on the commentator's tone, the Carpe Diem is exhibiting, that's the boat Dawson's using, is exhibiting poor sportsmanship and risking mm-hmm. a collision. Joey tells Gail, for our sake, they're heading for the same spot. Would love to know what the McPhees are feeling about this scene, given they presumably loaned out their dad's boat to this maniac without asking him, and now it's potentially about to crash, but they couldn't get them to shoot that day, I guess. And even though prior to this point, I assume Dawson was primarily just doing whatever Mitch told him to, this is where things take a turn back to the norm of Dawson being a little bitch. Clip 11.
Hey, we got the right of way!
You're gonna have to back off.
I'm not getting out of his way.
Two lengths.
I'm not getting out of his way.
Come on!
Get off our line!
Move on,
no,
Dawson!
You're gonna run into the dock.
Dawson, come on!
Give us room!
Oh my God! True love with the right of way changes course to avoid a collision. Carpe Diem does cross the line first.
Oh boy, it's gonna be a protest.
Carpe Diem, they didn't back off at all.
I'm sure that's a disqualification.
Mischief is approaching to finish second, and unfortunately, true love, they'll finish a distant fifth.
Mischievous Approaching is the name of my romance novel, by the way.
I mean, why didn't Mitch just, like, knock him out of the way?
Yes.
You're an adult.
Yes. Get him away from the controls. Like, it doesn't matter that he's the captain. He's not the captain. He's borrowing his friend's dad's boat behind his friend's dad's back.
Yeah. Like, nobody involved is insured for this.
No.
And once everybody comes ashore, Dawson should be shunned by the entire town. This is not shit that you could just do.
No. So even though we heard Carpe Diem got itself disqualified, Dawson is claiming a moral victory? Clip 12.
We won!
No, you didn't, Dawson. You lost. What? If you knew a little bit more about sailing, you would know that you got disqualified.
You're nearly killing me!
What, I got disqualified?
Oh, I got a couple more words for what you are.
Okay, let's not forget who started this, Pacey. You're Look, the one you
stop.
Said you wanted to...
The both of you, stop this. I'm not some damn trophy.
No, Joe, let's not forget who started this, okay? Let's not forget who pushed me towards Joey Potter in the first place. It was you. Yes, it was you, because you couldn't be bothered.
Because I didn't want to get hurt again, Pacey. I still had feelings for her. I still loved her. I still love her.
I hate this. I hate all of this. God, I hate you for kissing me and forcing me to figure out what it all means, Pacey. And I hate you, Dawson, for forcing me to make a choice between our friendship and what I might have had with him. And I hate myself. I mean, I wish we could go back to the way it was. I wish I could take it all back, but I can't. Nothing is worth going through all of this. No one person is worth this. Neither one of you, Especially not me.
I mean, I know you agree, Sarah.
I guess this maps onto what a 16 or 17 year old would do in the situation, or how she would react, or what we're supposed to think she feels about Dawson going back to when they were little kids, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. But I don't know. I'm looking at both of them and being like, both of you forget you ever knew me.
Yeah.
Leave town. Fuck you. I'm done. Mm. This is insane.
Yes.
Pacey, like, not so fast. Sorry. Right. After you, Dawson.
Ugh. Anyway, Joey has already wandered off crying when Dawson shows up to what, make it worse, clip 13.
Nobody kissed you.
Well, that makes one of us.
Nobody kissed you because it forced me to deal with the notion of losing you, Joey. And I can't. Sure, I can't lose you. Not now, not ever.
Dawson, I'm no good for you. Look at the way you behaved today.
I behaved the way I did today because I was threatened.
What are you talking about?
Honestly, I'm just trying to be the kind of guy you want.
And what kind of a guy is that?
Well,
not you.
It went for a guy who beat up a bully and bought you a wall.
It's not you.
No. No, it's not, Joey. And I'm trying to show you how much I want you instead of just telling you.
You don't want me, Dawson. You said it yourself. You just don't want to lose me.
Of course I don't want to lose you, Joey. I want you more than I ever have.
If you really felt that way about me, Dawson, then you would realize that the last thing I need right now is another person with romantic intentions for me.
Hey, what do you need? Joe, what do you need? I will do anything. I'm willing to do anything.
I need a friend. Someone who will be there for me without any agenda. The person that you used to be.
Then I'll be there for you. Let me prove it to you. Let me show you. Joey?
This is so, I mean, it's so stupid. Obviously, you like the whole idea that you can date and then go back to being friends, first of all, in any way, but especially the way that you were before, like when you were both mm-hmm. children sleeping in a bed together as pre-adolescents,
yeah.
is so ridiculous. Like you have to just accept that phase of your life is over, and she should not be even leading him on with the hope of like, I need you to be a friend, because then he'll think he can figure that out and do it. And he clearly can't.
Yeah. Like, that part is over. Also, good luck getting him back on the farm once they've made out with Joshua Jackson. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Truly, though. And then we're at the train station as Pacey's seeing Will off back to New Raleigh. After a manly hug, Pacey gives Will a bunch of standard advice and also don't sleep with any of your teachers. Ha ha, remember that sex crime? Anyway, Will tells Pacey not to give up on true love. It always wins in the end. And that's a wrap on Rodney Scott. Bye, bitch. You will not be missed.
Hope you went to grad school.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to Young Americans in some form eventually. But for now, bye. At the restaurant, Mitch walks in to Gail lighting candles. He thought there was a private party tonight, but and she says there is. It's theirs. She thought about what he said and decided they should have dinner and figure some things out. But the customers, Mitch says, this is an important weekend for them. Gail says he's more important. Well, remember that when your restaurant fails, I guess. Mitch marches up to her and gives her a big kiss. And then we're at the empty lot with Joey and her can of paint as she looks defeatedly up at her wall. Pacey comes up behind her and taps her on the shoulder. And when she blinks at him in surprise, clip 14.
You thought I was Dawson?
No, I just didn't.
Maybe the better question would be, did you want me to be Dawson? I'm sorry. I take that back.
Well, Lisa's gonna be up soon.
I'd renew it again if you wanted me to.
I don't know, Pacey. I mean, I don't want to give it up. It's just I don't really feel like I'm ready to...
Paint? I gotta be honest with you, Joe. I really thought after the way he behaved today that you'd love him less, but you don't, do you? If anything, you just love him more.
Macy, please don't make this harder than it is.
Why shouldn't he?
Yeah. Ugh.
True. I mean, whatever. You're all teenagers, but not that you talk or think like that on paper, but why shouldn't he? Truly. He's absolutely right.
Yes.
It must be so hard for him to be like, oh, she really will let herself be manipulated by Dawson based on shit that happened when they were nine.
Mm-hmm.
Forever.
Yeah. Because when he's like, used to love him, she doesn't say, I don't, or it's not the same, or whatever. She's just like, yeah. Because that's what the writers have put in her mouth, not what a real human would do.
Yeah, like, don't make me feel bad for being manipulated by this chode. Like, well,
yeah,
we know it's not your fault, but still, barf.
So Pacey agrees not to make it harder, but has one last question, clip 15.
If it weren't for Dawson, could you ever love me like that?
What?
Like a soulmate?
Macy, please don't make me choose this. Don't make me choose. I really think the best thing is just to take a couple steps back and...
Yeah. Look, Joe. I'll renew the lease on the wall first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I understand. I do. I understand. There are no ultimatums here.
Yeah, that's what the right person says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also he knows, like, he's getting on a boat and leaving town. And it's like, I won't have to think about this all summer, so thank God.
Right.
I mean, we know other things, but, you know.
Yeah. Then we're at the marina as Pacey wrenches the true love sign off the stern and tosses it into the water for Andy to fish out just in time. And I don't think Meredith Monroe was supposed to hold the sign upside down, but that is what has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Pacey wearily warns Andy that he's not up for a lecture right now, but she needs to say she doesn't hate him. She felt hurt and betrayed, and it would be easy to turn that into hate, but she doesn't want to be that person. Pacey thanks her. She says hate is a strong word, but so is love. And she hands him back the sign. And then Dawson is doodling by lava lamplight when Joey climbs through the window with a VHS tape asking if his invitation still stands. She has brought E.T., which I would assume he owned. But anyway, he can't believe this is what she picked after everything that's happened. She shrugs that she thought it was time to see it again. He remembers that she always thought it was depressing, but tonight she felt like watching something with an ending she knows like the back of her hand. Dawson puts the tape in as Joey gets on the bed, her shoes hovering right above his pillows. Not that he deserves better, but still gross.
Yeah. God.
And says, I'll be right here feels like the most comforting phrase in the world. And initially Dawson's face says, I deserve this. And Joey says, this is all I deserve. But as the camera pulls out the window, neither of them seems that psyched to be hanging out with each other right now. And that's the episode. What a slog. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Oh, God.
It's a real race to the fucking bottom here, but I'm going to say Will.
Sure.
Limited screen time that ended, and he stayed out of all this Michigas. Whatever Michigas he might be talking about, he wasn't involved. He was just like, bye, I'm going to my spinoff.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to say whichever regatta judge gets to be the one to tell Dawson he is disqualified and disgraced and banned from the regatta for the rest of his life.
Banned from the regatta and the marina entirely. Just fuck off.
Yep. Least valuable player. I mean, you already said this, and it's true. Part of it is because he is abetted in all of his bad behavior, but that, like, you only want a girl you can save or screw, right, Pacey? Is like, no, it's Dawson. You are not in polite society anymore. You're banned from life also.
No, that's a good shooting. I'm still going to go with Mitchell Leary because with a dishonorable mention to his ex and soon-to-be future wife, Gail, knock that giant head out of the way and take the controls.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to help. Mm-hmm. How about you help everybody else not, I don't know, die?
Yeah. Let the rightful winner win the regatta instead of getting out of the way so that people don't drown or wreck or whatever.
Yeah. And let your fucking unbearable son maybe suffer some setbacks that he actually has to feel so that he can become more bearable and stop acting like this.
Well, two more episodes to go.
Mm-hmm. Next time on Again With This, when the Cape Side Prom Committee rejects Ethan for entirely the wrong reasons, the gang's anti-prom creates problems of its own. Plus, Henry immediately undoes all of his hard work by ditching Jen for football camp, and Gail and Mitch launch their reunion tour. You probably want to launch some Visine into your eyes before looking at our visual aids. We've done them for every single episode of this podcast, and you can find them at againwiththispodcast.com. That's also where you'll find our complete archive of recap episodes for all shows, and once again, the number to call or text us, which we are begging you to do, is 210-767-2237. Our upcoming call-in episode needs your input. Hit us with some Death Is Not an Options. You are not crackpots. Be there. 210-767-2237. I'm background actor in a Boasts I Mean Who Cares t-shirt, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Lloyd Dobler Memorial Rooftop Love Nest, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, made a mistake. Talk to you next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.